The pastor's study will be in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, in verse number 42. So turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. And like I said, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 23, let's look at verse 42 together. Again, Luke 23, in verse number 42, probably a very familiar verse of Scripture to many of you listening. And the Word of God says, "And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Today on the pastor's study, our study is entitled, Three Men God Remembered. Three Men That God Remembered. In the Word of God, there are individuals that we are told that God specifically remembered. In our study, we want to attempt to look at three men, three individual men, three individual lives that God remembered. And what is interesting about these three men was God remembered them just before destruction or judgment was about to fall. And what we want to notice with each one is what was it about them that made God to remember them? The first one is found in Genesis chapter 8 in verse number 1, and of course that would be Noah. Noah is probably very familiar to most of you listening today. Notice with me in Genesis chapter 8 in verse number 1 what the Word of God says. "And God remembered Noah and every living thing in all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters were assuaged." We see here that God remembered Noah just before judgment was about to fall, just before God would destroy the entire earth with a flood. Now, why was this? Why was it that God remembered Noah? And as far as we know, he didn't remember anybody else at the time. I believe we're given the reason, if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 6, in verse number 8. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 8. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." But what we want to see, all that went on before that, in the first seven verses of Genesis chapter 6, notice with me, beginning in Genesis chapter 6 in verse number 1, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fear, and they took them wives, all of which they choose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown." Now, it mentions all of that. See, the sons of God We don't have time right now to do a study on the sons of God. Maybe at some point we would, or we will. But the sons of God are fallen angels. And we know when angels come to the earth, they take on the appearance of men. And obviously what happened here was, these fallen angels looked upon the daughters of men. They came down and cohabitated with them. Amen. And their offspring were giants. Now what did God think about all of this? It says in verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. I believe that's part of the wickedness. These sons of God's coming down and cohabitating with the daughters of men. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Notice in verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. God was very upset. You know, he was sorry here that he had created them, had created man. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping things and the fowls of the air, for repented me that I have made them. And then in verse 8 we see, but Noah, see, despite all of that, despite how wicked man had become and all that was going on at the time, we see, but despite all of that, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why was that? Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Why was it that the Lord remembered Noah and his family? Why was it that the Lord saved Noah and his family from destruction? Well, let's look in Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, we are told three things about Noah. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6 verse 9 together. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, imperfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. So first we see that the Word of God tells us that Noah, he was a just man. In other words, he was honest in fear in all of his dealings, be they business dealings, be they political dealings, be they social dealings. He was fair and honest. He was a just man. And I also believe that he was just in the eyes of God. And then we were told that he was perfect in his generations. Now, I believe that perfect does not mean sinless, because we're all sinners and come short of the glory of God. But what it means here is he kept his family separate from those who were wicked. In other words, he didn't try to win the lost at any cost. He didn't succumb to the pressures to conform to the world. Despite the daily ridicule, and I'm sure there was plenty of ridicule, because here we've got to remember at Noah's time they had never seen rain before, not a drop of rain before, and God tells them to build this ark. And I'm sure they had daily tours going by Noah and his sons as they built the ark, and they were ridiculed. But despite the daily ridicule, he continued to preach the word of God, gun barrel straight. Amen. He continued to preach that if people did not get right with God, that judgment was coming, and that it was coming very soon, and that they would be destroyed. You see, my dear friends, Noah was not out to win any popularity contest. No, Noah was more concerned in doing what was right in the eyes of God. A third thing we're told about Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9 is that Noah walked with God. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, the verse asks this question: can two walk together except they be agreed? And of course, the answer is no. No two people can walk together unless they be agreed. You see, Noah walked with God. Why did Noah walk with God? How was he able to walk with God? Because he agreed with everything that God had to say. See, Noah, my dear friends, he never questioned, he never doubted God, he never rebelled against God's authority. He just did what God told him to do. This is evident by what we read in Genesis chapter 6, in verse 22. We read in the Word of God in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Noah was completely obedient to what God told him to do. He was obedient to all that God told him to do. My dear friend, if you want God to remember you when judgment is about to fall, if you want to be forewarned, then right now, not before it's too late, but right now, you need to live a life that is pleasing to God. Your priority in your life should be to live in such a way that it pleases Almighty God and not anyone else. That should be your focus. It makes it so simple, folks. Stop trying to please everybody else, but be like Noah. Live in such a way that pleases God. Also, you need to keep yourself and your family like Noah was, separate from the world, and also today especially from unruly Christians. Not only the world, but unruly Christians. Amen. Those that walk contrary to the doctrine that we've been taught. And then finally, you need to be obedient to all, that's right, all, not just some of what God commands you to do. Let's move on to the second man that God remembered. Turn with me again in the book of Genesis, chapter 19. In chapter number 19, look with me in verse number 29. Genesis 19, verse 29. It came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. When it came to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, God remembered Abraham by saving his backslidden nephew Lot and his family. Why did God remember Abraham? What was it about Abraham that caused God to remember him? I believe the answer, my dear friend, is found in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. Let's look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 19 together. God said this about Abraham. for I know him, that he will command his children in his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. You see, because of Abraham's obedience to the word of God and his faithfulness, his being faithful to his parental duties of training and instructing those of his family and household, which would include the servants, in the ways of the Lord. Notice the statement in verse 19, chapter 19, or verse 19 of Genesis 18. Notice God says, I know him. In other words, what God was saying is God has no doubt. God has no doubt what Abraham will do. In other words, God is saying that Abraham is a good man. A man that I can count on. Amen. A man that I can trust. God knows that Abraham is faithful in his parental duties. Notice again in Genesis 18, verse 19, what God says the result of his godly training of his family and household would be. He says, they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice in judgment. In fact, in the book of James, in chapter 2 and verse 23, tells us that Abraham was called the friend of God. What a testimony, is it not? Wouldn't you love that to be your testimony, that you were known as the friend of God? I'd love to have that testimony, as Abraham did, being called the friend of God. Amen. So Lot's neck was saved because of his godly Uncle Abe. And if you want God to remember you, my dear friend, if you want God to remember you when judgment comes and spears your loved ones, then you need to live a life in such a way that God can say about you, and that God can say about me, I know him, or I know her. And the words, I know he will do right, no matter what, and he will teach his family to do right also. That's right. That's, amen, why God remembered Abraham. Because he could say, I know him. What a testimony that God can say that he knows you and he knows me, and that he can count on us to do what's right no matter what. Even if the stars fall out of the sky, to do right. Amen. The last man that we want to look at that God remembered was, of course, as we began our study in Luke chapter 23, is a dying thief on the cross. Let's go together to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23 with me. In Luke 23, in verse number 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You see, the dying thief was just about to breathe his last breath, and judgment was about to fall on him individually, and he was about to enter eternity without Jesus Christ, and he was about to spend time and eternity in a lake of literal burning fire. However, he asked the Lord Jesus Christ to remember him in his day of judgment, as we just read in Luke chapter 23, verse 42. And we know that the Lord remembered him by what we read in the Gospel of Luke chapter 23 in verse 43. This is how the Lord answered him. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The dying thief asked the Lord to remember him when he came into his kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, personally, thee, singular, thee, today thou, meaning that individual thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. God remembered him. The Lord remembered him. You see, what Jesus, in essence, told that dying thief was this. He said to him, Yes, I will remember you when the judgment comes after your death. In fact, you are going to escape that judgment and be with me in heaven for all of time and eternity. Well, what was it that made Jesus remember the dying thief? We know it wasn't because of any good thing that he had done. We know that he was a common criminal. Amen. He was a thief and a robber. But what was it about him? What was it about the thief that caused Jesus to remember him? I believe our answer is found in the 23rd chapter of Luke, in verses 40 to 41. And we read, But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. We see then that this thief, he feared God in the judgment to come, because he said to his other fellows, Thief, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? So we see that he had a fear of God in the judgment to come. And then he acknowledged that he was a sinner. He said, And we indeed justly. Amen. In other words, we deserve to be up here, he told the other thief, because we're sinners. Amen. Because we were unjust. And now we're getting the justice that we deserve. He acknowledged, this thief, that he deserved the payment or punishment for his sin. He said to that thief, For we receive the due reward of our deeds. He knew that he deserved to be up there, to be punished, to be crucified for the payment of his sins, for being a thief. The Bible reminds each and every one of us that the wages of sin is death. This dying thief, he acknowledged that Jesus did not deserve the punishment that he was receiving, and that Jesus was a sinless Savior. He said to that thief, he said, But this man, talking about Jesus, hath none done nothing amiss, and that had done nothing wrong, did not deserve to be in the same predicament that they were. He said, We deserve to be here. We're sinners. We're thieves. We're robbers. We deserve the punishment, but this man here, Jesus Christ, is not. Amen. He's a sinless man. He has done nothing amiss. He has done nothing to deserve this judgment and punishment. We see that this thief, this dying thief, he believed in his heart that only Jesus Christ could save him from the judgment of God that was about to fall on him. So he turned and he called upon the name of the Lord, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. It's so important. Amen. He recognized who Jesus was because he called him Lord, a title of deity. Amen. He just didn't say, Jesus, remember me. There are many Jesus, but there's only one Jesus that's Lord. The Bible reminds us, my dear friends, in Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, and 13, it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth is made unto salvation. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the Bible says, amen, the Bible tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, not with the head, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's exactly what he did. He called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And how did Jesus respond to this dying thief? He said, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know, Jesus makes the promise to all. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You see, that dying thief was not baptized. He did not join a church. Amen. Didn't do any good works. He was a thief. But he believed in his heart who Jesus was, and only Jesus could save him. And he called upon the name of the Lord to save him. And as Jesus promised, as that thief came to Jesus, Jesus kept his promise. Many had cast him out. Amen. Maybe probably his own family, maybe his wife and his children in the world. But Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. My friend, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it is appointed unto me once to die, but after this, the judgment. My dear friend, God's judgment could fall on you at any time. You could wake up burning in a physical, literal lake of fire. I plead with you right now. Won't you right now, before it's too late, ask the Lord to remember you by calling upon his name to save you like the dying thief on that cross did. And know that God's judgment will not fall on you, and you will be in paradise with the Lord Jesus Christ for all of time.